All right, let's open our Bibles to Luke 1. Luke 1. The Lord's got some good things lined up for us.
Amen.
And I want to help you with something tonight. As soon as I find Luke. I want to talk to you about something that it is particularly important. And I believe the Lord wanted to sit this right in here in this spot on purpose. Much of our success depends on our identity. And it depends on you understanding your identity. And we know who we are somewhat. I don't know if we focus on it enough, but we do know that we are the sons of God. I could go through a list of things that you know who you are, and you'll talk about it, and you'll confess it over yourself. But I want to go a little bit different. I want to make sure that you understand who you are prophetically. And so this is what I mean by that. Esther was a Jew. She knew she was in a certain group. He that hath an ear, let him hear. She's in a certain group. There's three groups on the earth. The Jews, the church, the nations. She knew she was in a certain group in the earth of God's chosen people. Now, you should know that about yourself too. You're in a certain group. You're the church. And you're God's kids. You're a chosen generation. But with Esther, there's a saying that we all know, and I can say it real quick, for such a time as this. All of us know that saying, for such a time as this. And we know that Mordecai said to her, yet who knows whether you have come to the kingdom for such a time as this. I believe there's no mistake in the fact that you're living in this earth right now yourself. And there's no mistake that you're here right now. You're not a mistake being right here in the Marble Falls area in Victory. It's not a mistake. Mm-hmm. It's not a mistake that you're the age that you are right now. Mm-hmm. There are no coincidences. This is destiny. Because most of you can hear God and you know that you should be right here, right now. You believe that. So understanding is big. Now, I'm going to read to you Luke 1, and I'm going to start with verse 5. There was in the days of Herod, the king of Judea, a certain priest named Zacharias of the division of Abijah. His wife was of the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. And they were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinance of the Lord, blameless. But they had no child because Elizabeth was barren and they were well advanced in years. So it was that while he was serving as a priest before in the order of his division, according to the custom of the priesthood, his lot fell to burn incense when he went to the temple of the Lord. And the whole multitude of the people was praying outside. That's what they did. They came twice a day, particularly on the Sabbaths. They would come and they would pray morning and night. So, the whole multitude was praying. Verse 11, then an angel of the Lord appeared to him standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And when Zacharias saw him, he was troubled and fear fell upon him. But the angel said to him, do not be afraid, Zacharias, for your prayer is heard. And your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you shall call his name John. And you shall have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth. For he will be great in the sight of the Lord and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink. He will also be filled with the Holy Spirit, even from his mother's womb. And he will turn many of the children of Israel to the Lord their God. He will also go before him in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, the spirit of Elijah, and the disobedience to the wisdom of the just to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. He will make ready a people who are prepared for the Lord. Get that? He's making ready a people prepared for the Lord. And Zechariah said to the angel, how shall I know this? For I'm an old man and my wife is well advanced in years. And the angels answered and said to him, I am Gabriel who stands in the presence of God and was sent to speak to you and bring you these glad tidings. And behold, you will be mute and not able to speak until the day these things take place because you did not believe my words, which will be fulfilled in their own time. So John the Baptist is a unique prophet in this true history. He's very unique. A lot of prophets doing great exploits. You've got people setting in kings. You've got prophets taking out kings. We saw that Elijah did 8 recorded miracles. We saw that Elisha, who received a double portion, did 16 recorded miracles. We see all these prophets doing all these wonderful things. We know a lot about Jeremiah. We know a lot about Isaiah. But Jesus said that John was the greatest of all the prophets. Okay? Isaiah prophesied about John. And he said this, they brought it over into Mark. It said on Mark 1:2, it says, as it is written in the prophets, behold, I send my messenger before your face who will prepare your way before you. The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight. So John the Baptist was called for such a time as that, or such a time as this. He was to be born in that time and nothing was going to stop it. So he was called to usher in the King of Kings. So what did he do? He came into the earth. He preached about repenting, for the kingdom of God is at hand. He preached about a Messiah who was about to show up. And he said that this Messiah would come in power and he would baptize people in the Holy Ghost and fire. That's what he said would happen. He was declaring that's what would happen. And many of you know this. You know the scriptures that say the voice of one crying in the wilderness, bring up the valleys, take down the mountains, prepare the way so the King of Kings can come in. Mm-hmm. That's over in Isaiah. And then it's also quoted again in the New Testament. Now, in those days, there was a road crew. And that road crew, when a king was coming, they smoothed out the road. The kings didn't ride over rough roads.
That's right.
They rode smooth places. And so there'd be people out in front building a nice road for the king to come in on, making sure there's no potholes. Amen. Praise the Lord. And so John the Baptist, he did road work. Amen. He had a declaring ministry. And so We see that he would announce things. He would use his words so that he could build a path. Now there's 2 other people important before the Messiah showed up, and that's Anna and Simeon. They're both in the temple and they're both praying. So they're also declaring. They're also using words. They're already expecting the Messiah to come. In fact, both of them, when baby Jesus was taken into the temple, they were thrilled. Amen. Praise the Lord. So, Jesus said he was greater, so said Jesus, than all the other prophets. Now, you have to ask yourself why, because they were pretty great. Why? Well, the reason is because he lived before the face of God. And, you know, they talk about him wearing certain clothes and eating certain food. So obviously he wasn't downtown eating it at Harding Corona. You know, he was out somewhere. He stayed away some. Can I tell you that God hides prophets sometimes? He'll keep them for a certain season and then they'll come big on the scene. They're not every prophet is real out there. For years and years and years, they'll come in and then boom. Mm-hmm. Amen. Which you saw that, at the time of COVID. Yeah. I didn't know Robin, and I've been going to church with him once a year for 20 years. And he was in the crowd and I was going to church with him, but I didn't know him. Yeah. But I do now. Mm-hmm. He's about as tall as Deb. Praise the Lord. Anyway, so he's in the he's living before the face of God. And so when you live before the face of God, it's the ultimate place of favor and responsibility. I had the Lord tell me something right before I came. He said, you're not stewarding your favor correctly. I'll just be honest with y'all. He said, you need to go back. Let me talk to you about this. You can use your favor in some places. You're not using it. I was like, okay, let's talk. I'm listening. I want to know. But when you're, have your face before God, you're praying, you have fellowship with the Father, you're going to have favor and you're going to have some responsibility. And John had a big responsibility. And, one thing that he had was he had an unusual grace for recognizing the presence of God. Amen. Now, when Mary is pregnant with Jesus, she walked into the room to visit Elizabeth. Get me cold chills. Think about this. And, who also was pregnant with John. So two pregnant ladies and they're coming together and she walks into the room. See, Elizabeth was out somewhere also. She was not in the middle of where she always lived. She went on a vacation somewhere for about 5 months. And so Mary walks into the room, and when Mary's greeting reached Elizabeth's ears, John leaped for joy in her womb. I want you to think about that now. John would be what the world would call a fetus. So they can ease their conscience about abortion. But this is a person in Elizabeth. And this person actually perceived something in the womb. That he was in the presence of Messiah in another womb. That's pretty big. Amen. So that unborn child was able to detect the presence of God. Glory to God. So now, even more significant was John's ability to recognize the connection that the present Christ had to his assignment and his destiny. He's reacting because here we are. I've just had an encounter. And now the plan for my life is set to go. Can I tell you that God knew what you were going to do when you were in your mother's womb?
Yes.
Praise God. He wasn't even born yet and he's already celebrating. That's faith. Great joy is always available to anyone who connects with their eternal purpose. You should just be so thrilled when you know what your eternal purpose is, because you're just fulfilling the plan. I'm about 7 or 8 minutes away from telling you your eternal purpose. You don't have to wonder another night. I'm about to tell it to you. Thank you, Jesus. So Luke records these things about John's early life for several reasons. The one we just saw, John's being in tune with the Spirit, but also we see that John was going to mature into something that needed to be protected. Okay? Needed to be protected. And so, you remember Zechariah didn't believe the angel, and what happens? He makes him mute. He can't talk. So the next time some of your friends tell you that you go to that cuckoo church who believes that words matter, you could show them this scripture, because words matter. Life and death is in the power of the tongue, and what we say matters. And it mattered so much that Daddy had to shut up for 9 months so that he would not put a curse on that prophet in the womb.
Wow.
Words can curse things.
Wow.
Amen. So the angel shut him up. He couldn't curse the plan. He couldn't curse the purpose, and he couldn't curse the child. He's sealed up from that. Praise the Lord. You know, when you're listening to this, think about your children and your grandchildren. Because there's a little bit more going on than what I'm preaching about right now. You can pick this up on several languages, layers here. And languages, that might have been what was supposed to come out there. Praise the Lord. Okay, so now also, and I just mentioned this, Elizabeth went away. So she didn't have to hear her well-meaning friends and relatives. Now, Liz, aren't you a little too bit old to be having a baby? Couldn't there be deformities? Blah, 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 blah. Yep. So she didn't put her dream out there.
Yeah. Yeah.
So she was protecting him as well. So he was protected by keeping daddy's mouth shut, and he's protected from all the neighbors and the family as well. What he was carrying needed to be protected. I pray that you'll get that, because what you're carrying needs to be protected. So for 5 months, he's out there, protected from words. Words from Mary brought joy to an unborn child. Did he understand them? I doubt it. But this is what I do know, and I hope you get this tonight. A child has an amazing discernment that unless he or she has parents that understand the way of the Spirit, how the spirit world works, and that they've learned how to steward their child's anointings. I said, steward your child's anointings. If they don't have parents that steward their child's anointings, then the world will just beat that thing. It'll just come in and try to just beat out of them what God has planned. They'll lose their discernment of this is who I am. That's why I'm just so thrilled at the parents in this house. Because you've protected your children from a lot of junk by some of the moves you've made, by some of the things you've done, by some of the ways you talk to your children, by having them in kids' church all the time, having them do youth, stuff like that, making their spiritual life come alive so they can discern.
Yeah.
It blesses me to see how some of you are raising your children. So when John rejoiced, Elizabeth was filled with the Spirit, and that enabled her then to steward him. She began to go, okay, this is just like Mary. Mary knew this is a special child, and we're going to make sure that this child is protected. And now, I'm not talking about hiding someone away in a box or something, but I'm talking about being able to encourage the right way, bring them along the right way. I'm going to say something to you right now. I'm preaching to the choir, but I think it's worth saying. Kids should not get to pick where you go to church.
Amen.
Well, we're going to go over here because Johnny wants to go over here, and he likes these kids better than your youth group. No, kids don't get to pick that. That's a parent's job. The parent gets to pick where the kids go to school and church. And where the parent feels is right, that's who should be doing it. And I know I'm preaching to a bunch of people that's saying that's right. But maybe somebody out there need to hear it. Because every once in a while we hear the devil tempt people that come through the house here saying, well, no, you're the boss. As long as you live in my house, hey! As long as you eat my Hot Pockets, hey! You gonna do what you're supposed to do in my house. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. All right. So, now Esther had an assignment to save her people. Both these stories are about speaking, and they're about declaring, and they are about speaking up. Do you hear me? Speaking, declaring, and speaking up. Sometimes that third one is we shy away from a little bit because we don't really know. But if you have an unction, you ought to just go ahead and speak up. You get in the middle of a bunch of people, say, well, we just don't know why. And you've got the answer. You, if it seems right to you in the Holy Ghost, tell them the answer. Because it's a time to speak up. We just don't know why people, you know, where's all the miracles, you know, stuff like that. We talk about some stuff like that, or we don't know why people haven't come back to church. Well, if you have the answer, tell them. And you don't have to be rude about it. But people are going to have to come into an awakening right now. And there's things they're going to have to learn. Number one, no pity parties allowed. They're going to have to learn to take responsibility for their own faith. Amen. Quit blaming God for sickness and disease and why somebody doesn't make it. God didn't do it.
Amen. Right.
That's between them and Jesus. We don't have the answer to all things. But if you're going to fall back to that every time something happens, you're really in risk that when something tries to come and take your life, you're not going to make it. I'm just going to tell you. You're going to have to stand your ground and speak up. Now, I'm not talking about telling your boss off. That's not your place. I'll just add pastor in there too. I'm not talking about those kind of things, but I'm talking about when people are really curious and they're open to you. Because it's not what you know, it's not what they need, it's what they'll receive. So keep your mouth quiet if they don't, you know, they're just not, if they're just spouting off and they don't really want to hear. But if they really want to hear, just like Billy Brim, she went to Sunday school. I've heard this story like 1,000 times. I love it. She goes to the Friends Church in Oklahoma and she goes to the Sunday school class and she's in there and, there's a Miss Tifa Teller. She's a lady that we all know. She's in heaven now, but she's a big prayer. Her son came to the Sunday school class with two broken arms.
Wayne Tifa Teller.
And he said, they said, oh, you broke your arm. He says, yeah, I told God that if I ever go to the movies, he can punish me or something like that, you know. He'll break both of my arms. So he went to the movies and he was bull riding. Wasn't it bull riding?
Yeah. I think it was.
And that's what broke his arms. And so he's in there and he's testifying. And Sister Billy, gotta love her, because right in the middle of things, she says, oh, brother, that's the devil taking payment on words that you spoke. Because God didn't break anybody's arms, but the devil heard it and he took advantage of it. So the next picture right there is, someone says, man, we need a new Sunday school teacher. And we vote for you. So Miss Billy took over the Sunday school class and grew the whole church and so and so. But it was because of that one entry where people heard what she said and it was the truth. So sometimes, and I'm just going to say, maybe some of y'all speak up a little too often, too much, and you might want to learn to hold it back a little bit. But there is a time to speak up. There's a time to speak up. There's a time to be quiet, but there's a time to speak up. And in this season, you're going to have rare, listen to me, I'm going to prophesy to you, rare opportunities, divine appointments to speak up.
Yes.
Yes. Esther was not supposed to go in there, right? She couldn't go in to see the king, but she did.
Mm-hmm.
We'll talk about that in a minute. Well, let's talk about it right now. Here's what Mordecai said to her. This is Esther 4:14. If you remain completely silent at this time, relief and deliverance will arise for the Jews from another place. So it's going to get done. It's going to get done. But you and your father's house will perish. I'm not willing to wait for another generation to bring America back. Yet who knows whether you have come to the kingdom for such a time as this, if you remain silent. Ladies and gentlemen, Jesus is coming.
Yes, he is.
He's coming. Esther saved herself. She saved her family And she saved a nation of Jewish people that were going to be slaughtered. Why? Because she opened her mouth. She said, no, we're not going to take it. And I just challenge you today to stop, to talk to the enemy. Now listen, we're not fighting flesh and blood. Demonic forces are running rampant through people. Cuckoo stuff. But, and maybe when I'm talking about not keeping silent, maybe it's this more than even being in the middle of somewhere to do this, but maybe it's this, that you would speak to the realm. That you would speak to the atmosphere, to the principalities, the powers, the rulers of darkness, and you would shut them up and shut them down. Send them to a dry place. They're looking for a wet place. Humans. They're looking for some mud. They can't function without mud. They need wet. But you send them to their appointed place. You send them to where they belong. You start talking to them. Now, when it comes to principality, you're going to do some work. But you can start binding the operations. You can start moving on that. The Church of the Living God has been doing that. But you can do that for your family. You can do that for your friends. You can speak up. You can just speak up. You know, when we're in a prayer circle and everybody's praying, you could just speak up too. You could get practiced enough that when you step into the circle, you don't put your hands in your pocket and hang your head while Jesse and some of the others pray. Danny, you could actually pray yourself. When you see that stuff on the news, you could actually talk back to it. And you could pray some things about that. In this upcoming election, you could already be binding some stuff. You can already be loosening some stuff. You can already be working on some stuff. You could actually speak up. If you see something go wrong at the poll, you could speak up.
Yep. Praise the Lord.
Yes, you can. Can they? No. Well, I mean, you can pray. Yeah. I mean, you might not be able to jump across the table and say, they're cheating. I'm talking about you saying, in the name of Jesus, I declare this is found out. You could pray. Pastor George has sent out a prayer for everyone who's voting to pray when you're going in there. You pray something. Amen. Well, we can start speaking up. Well, I don't know about it. Well, friend, let me help you. The Bible has something very important to say about killing babies. The Bible has something very important to say about marriage. The Bible has important. You, if you're a Christian, you need to go and look and see what it really says before you just decide something. I know I happen to be on the subject of America and voting, but I'm talking about anything in life. Let's go here. What about sickness and disease? The Bible is very clear that Jesus is the healer. Very clear. The Bible is very clear that healing did not stop when the apostles died. Very clear. I don't know how people ever got that. I guess because they weren't having any miracles, they made up their own doctrine. Well, it must have passed away because we're not having any miracles. Well, we are.
Thank you, Jesus.
We are. Well, how come it doesn't happen every time? I don't know, but I'm not going to quit.
Right.
I'm still going to believe the Bible.
Right.
I don't know why some of the people I love went on to heaven, but I'm not going to spend my time going, I wonder. I'm going to move forward while they're working on the other side and do what I need to do here. I'm going to listen to this tape myself. John the Baptist declared the Messiah. He was a road crew. He got people ready for Messiah. And that's what I'm trying to tell you today. All of my friends here, I'm trying to tell you this. I would say that you are here for such a time as this. You are the road crew for the coming Messiah. Wow. Jesus is coming. God brought us all together so we will open our mouths, not in complaining, not in feeling sorry, not in blabbing about something, not about whatever, whatever, but open our mouth and begin to declare to people the gospel, the truth. The truth about what the Bible says. That's what we need to do. I think we'll have to open our mouth sometimes and say, I will not. I think we'll have to open our mouth sometimes and say, I will. I think we'll have to open our mouths and say, no. And I think a lot of times we're going to have to open our mouths and say, yes. Yes. Yes to the Holy Spirit. Yes to what He's doing. We are here for such a time as this. You are the John the Baptist of this time. You are the road crew. You're the road crew. You're the one that's going to pull up the valleys and take down the mountains. Yes, Lord, I will. I knew you were going to go there. I want to approach this right with you so you'll feel good about it. Because I want you to feel good about it. We could all be doing many things tonight. We could all be doing many different things with our lives. I mean, I've been pastoring here for 20 years and was in the ministry 10 more years before that. I could say, you know what, I'm retiring. I'm going to go live up in Maine and look at moose. Danny's going, no, you're not. She's for such a time as this, she's speaking up. I could just say, you know, the Caribbean's looking good right now. Or I could just say, she liked that one. Or I could just say, you know what? I've had enough. I'm tired of all the, well, I won't go into all that. You can just imagine. But we're here for such a time as this, Art. We're here right now for this. We are here. That's why you live to be 95 years old, Gladys. Because you're here for such a time as this. We're here for this time to see that this gets done. And we're just going to have to put on our big boy and girl pants and do the job. We're going to have to. And we're going to have to not be wah-wahs about it. And that's not a mama whipping. I'm just trying to help you rise up and be a good soldier. Right now, Virginia's saluting me. Yeah. See, what I'm asking you, what the Lord's asking you is to start your declaring ministry. Get it going. Don't leave it to the prophet. Don't lead it to just the leaders. Start saying stuff. In the name of Jesus, I will prosper. In the name of Jesus, I will live and not die. In the name of Jesus, I will make progress. I will have momentum. I will reach people. I will have divine appointments. I will steward my favor. I will listen to what God says. I will hear the Holy Spirit. We got to do what God calls to do. I know there's people sitting in here, Debbie, me, Deb, Ronnie, some of the, we live far away from our grandchildren, but we're doing God's will.
Yes, we are.
We're doing God's will.
Yes, we are.
And so God will provide. He will provide time with them more and more. Mm-hmm. And you know, that road gets long sometimes, air flight for you, but we can do it. We can do what God called us to do. And when you're willing to give your life to go where God wants you to go, some folks just moved here to come here to this church. Well, most of us can move here to come to this church. Almost all of us. God did it. God did it. You're so important to this awakening. So every time you feel that little thing coming up, just No. And we all feel like that. We're all like, well, I'm tired of it. I mean, every once in a while, I've just felt like, let's go. Just let them all go to hell. Is that shocking to you? But it's true. That's how people feel. You feel like that sometimes. But we're not going to be like that. That's the devil talking, Bobby. We're not going to do that. Not your Bobby. That's what Jesse Duplantis used to say. I didn't make that up myself. He just sometimes got fed up with people and everything. He'd say, oh, I'm just going to let them all go to hell. You know? No. We may feel like that sometimes, but we're not going to do it. We're going to stay in this race, and we're going to watch people get saved. How many kids got saved last week? Six teens got saved last week. Before that, two. Before that, three. Before, just the teens are coming in here. They're back there having a big party for the kids right now, a harvest party. Now I'm going to tell you something else. We're early. I'm about to close, but I'm going to tell you something else. Our children pay particular attention to them because they're going to rise up and start, just going to start skipping spaces here.
Yes.
So they're going to start being leaders. Mm-hmm. Some of them will be a better leader than you if you don't get on the ball. Mm-hmm. It's messing with you. Some of them are moving fast. But they're finding out truth about being a leader, not just a positional thing where they get to boss people around. That's not what we're teaching them. We're teaching them how to follow, how to serve. And when you can follow and you can serve, the best leaders are the ones who know how to serve. You gotta know how to do that. Praise the Lord. So, you're learning right now to live with an unusual grace, to recognize God's presence. You rejoice in what you sense before you even see the fruit of it. Start thinking like that. Here, it's coming. I sense something is on the rise. Start sensing what God wants to do. And you prepare the way for it to manifest by declaring, ooh, God's going to do something. Ooh, the Lord's doing something. I feel like God's going to do something. Coming here in the morning, Jesse declares it for us every service before we get started. What's she doing? She's establishing an atmosphere that we can work in this place.
Yes.
Do that at your house.
Yes.
Do that at your job. That's better than telling the boss off.
Right.
That's out of order anyway, church. So you rejoice in what you're doing. You're going to see the fruit. You're moving obstacles. You're making smooth places. And I'm going to tell you this, prayer will be the key to all success. If you're not willing to pray, if it's too inconvenient for you to pray, it's probably going to be too inconvenient for you to overcome.
That's good.
Probably will be. You don't have to pray all day. Just don't go too long all day without praying again.
Yeah. Right.
Mm-hmm. It's not like, you know, so I live a lot around Deb, Danny and Jordan, Art, Amanda. I see them a lot, John, and see them in my life a lot because most of those are on the staff and some of you a little more. But what if I just didn't say a word to you for all day long, and then I called you on the phone and said, "Dear Danny, I just want to tell you right now very much that I really love you, and and you're such a good girl, and and I would like to know if you could do these 35 things on the list for the church today." She says, "Get thee behind me, Satan." That's not the way. Just all day long, look at this, Lord. I was out there with him, and we were looking at butterflies. He likes them. He likes it that I like them. We're out there. I said, "Look at this orange one. Yeah, that one's pretty. Look, here's this black one, and he's really got his nose down in the flower. Yeah, I'm going to touch him." "No, don't touch him." "Okay." You know, just relate to him. Talk to him.
Yeah.
ask him. Like on the way to, on the church tonight, I said, what do you want, Lord? I said it with that attitude. What do you want? Because here I am. What do you want? Because I'll do it. Anything that is made clear to me, I'll do it. And he already has spoken to me about I need to steward my favor better. So I'll just tell every one of you what mistakes I make, what I don't, because this is how we're all going to move forward. Start stewarding your favor. Y'all receive this tonight? Praise the Lord. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you, Lord, that we are a declaring ministry. We are here for such a time as this. We're going to speak truth concerning America, voting, all the things that are biblical. We're going to speak truth concerning the good news of the gospel. We're going to speak truth to people. We're going to speak truth about you and dispel those that tell lies about you. We thank you, Lord. We're also going to speak up and not allow familiar spirits to drive us into fear and doubt and offense in Jesus' name. Thank you for it, Lord. We will pray, Lord. We will say, we will declare so that the King of Glory can come in with his heavy goodness and bless the world.